see you on Monday. Y'all excited about the sports?
Show today. Waiting for the other host to call in. Six Sides, you know he joined when doing this show. Last week I did it without him. It's all good. So what I want to talk about, I'm going to start off with. Now, this happened in Italy. This story I'll share with y'all. An Italian woman found dead in mummified state and seated at a table for 2 years. And this Italian woman was found in her home mummified and at the table where you eat dinner. A It says, Ariella Annis, better care of older people, is being called for after an Italian woman was found dead and seated at a table more than 2 years. In a mummified state, officials say the woman identified as Marinella Barretta had no living relatives. Barretta's neighbors hadn't seen her since September 2019. At least 2.5 years, they assumed she moved. At the start of the pandemic, police ended up discovering Barretta's remains inside her Christina home in northern Italy near Lake Como in Lombardy. It's reported that officials officially went to make a house call to her and fellow residents of high winds in the area. Lake Como Mayor Mario, see, these are Italian names. I took a little Italian, I ain't that good at it, but I'ma try. Andresina has asked all residents to attend Barretta's funeral. The local government also care of all expenses. In a 2018 report by the National Statistics Institute, nearly 40% of Italians over 75 years old live alone. In response to the shocking discovery, Family Minister Elena Bonetti says what happened to Marinella Barretta in Como, the forgotten loneliness hurts our conscience. We have a duty as a community that to remain united to remember her life. No one must be left alone. And she's right. She is so right. This is why when we have bad storms, like, you know, it's cold today, this is why when we have weather, bad storms, say go check on the elderly in your community, especially those that live alone. Go check on them. Because no one, as you get older, you know, you die alone. I guess you live alone, you die alone. Get that. But the elderly have companionship. They just want companionship. Someone that they could talk to. Why do you think sometimes you may see an older woman or elderly woman, you know, you say something nice to her and say, hey, what are you doing? And, you know, for you being so nice, I baked you a cake, or I made dinner and made you a plate, because they're not being alone. I know I die alone, but even if your relatives don't live, you get to have some relatives. She didn't have anybody. She was the only relative left. And I appreciate the mayor saying we're going to pay for her funeral and all that stuff. There was someone taking care of her. Someone from a nursing facility was taking care of her. And she died and you left her propped up for 2 years, mummified at the table. You didn't say nothing. Because you got, also, you have to think this way, right? If you're a home health aide, right, and you're taking care of the elderly, let's just say you're only working because you're taking care of this elderly person, right? And let's just say the elderly person dies. If they die, right, you lose your job. So if you pretend that they're still alive, you keep getting, maybe that's how it works for the person. That if this person dies, I lose my job, right? Let's say if the person died, I lose my job. So maybe to say that the person is still alive, they can keep their job and still pay. That's just a thought. But I'm sorry that she died alone. And had nobody to take care of her. I'm sorry about that. And let me come back here. You know, because you do outlive your some family members, you do outlive. I died of cancer or some other kind of disease, and, you know, you outlive them. And I get that. May she rest in peace. But I hoped that the person who was looking after her didn't kill her. I hope she died of natural causes and the person didn't kill her. This next story, that's a sad story. It's sad that she died alone and that she was kept in her house and is mummified. But this next story I'm going to get into. Not going to like it at all. I don't like it either. So if I curse while telling this story, that means I am pissed off to the highest of festivity on this story. And I'm going to read you the headline. And I'm going to read you the headline, and this is coming from D.L. Higley. It's from his Instagram. And I think it's the actual video. I'm going to read you the headline. Georgia man sexually abused and raped three generations of the same family. Sentenced to life in prison. Let me read that again. Georgia man sexually abused and raped three generations of the same family sentenced to life in prison. You know, and Janie to the jail. Okay. No sound. Okay, there's no sound. Okay, there's no sound, so let me read what DL said. DL said, unfortunately, this is a very relatable story for kids. We've heard jokes about one uncle you don't leave the kids alone with. Nothing funny about this. Prayers for healing for all of the innocent lives he affected. And this is the whole article here. It says a Georgia man is going to serve life for raping and molesting three generations of the same family. On Monday, 66-year-old Benny Frank Johnson was sentenced to two life terms, an additional 5 years after being found guilty of rape, aggravated child molestation, and child molestation. The New York Post reports Johnson, a grandfather, was arrested in May 2020 after he sexually assaulted an 8-year-old girl in 2017. The mother came forward and said Johnson sexually assaulted her. She was a child as well. During his trial, another witness revealed that Johnson raped her as a child when he was married to her mother. The news outlet reports the victim's mother referred to Johnson's crimes against her son as a generational curse. In a statement, Assistant District Attorney Alex Cox said Johnson will never be able to use another child again. The New York Post reports Johnson, a Mableton resident, and being held without bond. Okay. So the mother was raped of his weight and the daughter's rape. So the mother, the girl whom he raped her mother. The mother that was raped, he raped her mother. So that's three generations in the same family. What's up? This man is to be under the jail. Not in jail, but under the jail. But he's going to get what he's going to get his due because they don't play that in jail. When they find out what he's in for, they don't play that. A little kid, you molested a 9-year-old, and when the mother was a age as her 9-year-old, you molested her, and her mother, when she was that age, you molested her. So you molested the grandmother, the mother, and the child, the grandchild. And you got two sentences plus for what you've done. What I don't understand is if the mother knew that he did this to her, how was he able to be around her daughter? And like in the black community, they do when a child says, so-and-so touched me, they push it under the rug. And still let this person come, because he's family, they still let him around the family, but they make sure that there's always another adult around if there's children there. Do not, what you're doing is causing mental trauma to the child. You're causing mental trauma to the child, to the 9-year-old, but keeping him around. Mental trauma to the 9-year-old, he molested. You're causing mental trauma to because she was molested by him, and the child didn't know that. Now that this is out, she told her child that she was molested by him too. So now she's with mental trauma, and then the mother's dealing with mental trauma. Why he may not be family, but still, why are keeping this man around? I'm glad he's where he need to be in jail, but he shouldn't. Around, if you know this man molested you, this man should have been nowhere around your child. You know how he got around your child, but he should have been nowhere around your child. And six, this happened in Georgia. Three generations of women molested by the same man. So it's the grandmother, the mother, and the mother's child, the 9-year-old, that he molested. It says in this article that I got from Deanna Hughley, it said that when the mother, okay, the 9-year-old, her mother was the same age as her, he molested her then. Her mother, he molested too. But what I'm not understanding, I'm not putting blame on the mother or anything like that, you know. But I'm trying to figure out how, if y'all know this happened, how were you still allowed around your family, knowing that he's a child molester? How are you still having him around your family? They said he was to the mother. I don't know if it's the mother, the middle ones. Grandmother that he was married to, and that's how he got access to them. But it said he was married to the mother. And it's crazy. And this happens a lot. It's a lot. And they keep quiet about it. Stop being silent. When your child comes to you telling you she's been molested by a family member or a family friend stop being silent. You gotta stop being silent. Because the more you keep silent, the more he's gonna keep doing it to somebody else's child, when you know he's done it to yours. And if you're a parent that don't believe your child, what reason would your child have to lie to you about somebody molesting them? Be a boy, a little boy, or a girl. What reason would they have to lie? Because they don't like the person you're dating, and somebody you're dating that's molesting? Why would your child need to lie? You think your child wants to see you happy and loved, so they're going to lie about being molested? Like, come on. Like, if your child is feeling something about the person you're dating, you should take that into consideration and not have that person around your child. Because even if the person didn't molest your child, they might have had some type of thought about doing it, and your child sensed that. So I'm going to read the article again, because I don't think you caught it from the beginning. So I'm going to read it for you, Six. It says, on Monday, I forgot when I saw this post, but I got this from Dear Hughley, as I said. It says, on Monday, a 66-year-old Benny Frank Johnson was sentenced to 2 life terms and an additional 5 years after being found guilty of rape, aggravated child molestation in New York. Johnson, a grandfather, was arrested in May 2018 after he sexually assaulted 8-year-old girl in 2017. The mother of the victim came forward and said Johnson sexually abused her when she was a child as well. During his trial, another witness said that Johnson raped her as a child when he was married to her mother. News outlet reports the victim's mother referred to Johnson's crimes against her friend as a generational curse. In a statement, Assistant District Attorney Alice Paul said, Johnson will never be able to abuse another child again. The New York Post reports Johnson, a Mabelton resident, has been held with a bond. Here's you, D.L. Hughley's response to this post. It says, unfortunately, this is a very relatable story for some. For decades, we've heard jokes about the one uncle you don't leave your kid with. Nothing funny about this. Prayers for healing for all of the innocent lives he affected. And this is my thing. Like I just said, how are you letting this man, you know he's a child molester, you letting him around your child? So what is your thoughts on this thing? Six, your mic is open. What is your thoughts? Okay. I don't know, Six, stepped away from the phone. But, yeah. Whenever you're ready to give your thoughts on that, you can give your thoughts. We're going to keep going. This one says, 9-year-old dies of fentanyl overdose. Father won't rest until he finds out who's responsible. And this is an actual video. I am going to play the
this guy pounding in my face.
What
I can do. So this is my way of helping her out, getting justice for her. I've just recently found a house that was gonna be for her when she got older. And, like, I planned my whole life around her. And it's, now it feel like everything that I put forth became a waste. And it's, like, in my face. Because you try so hard to do stuff for the ones you love. You don't know when they're going. It wasn't I can do. So this is my way of helping her out, getting justice for her. I just recently bought a house that was going to be for her when she got older. And, like, I planned my whole life around her. And it's, now it feel like everything that I put forth, a waste, and it's, like, thrown in my face. It's so hard to do stuff that you love. And you never know when they're going to be gone. It wasn't nothing.
So, night. So this right here, this right here, I don't know if the mother was dating somebody who's dealing drugs or dealing with somebody who's taking drugs or she's taking them with them. Where in the world would a 9-year-old get fentanyl? Where in the world would a 9-year-old get fentanyl and take it got me thinking, like, if the mom's in the if the mom's in an abusive relationship with somebody and when you're in an abusive relationship, whatever the person that you, who's the abuser, is always gotta be in control. You always gotta be in control and say, do what I say. This can happen. Even when it comes to the last story about the molestation, they always tell the person they're molesting to be quiet or something, your family's gonna be hurt. And maybe the person who's the abuser out to that woman, you say anything, I'm going to hurt your child. And maybe that's how, I'm not saying this is fact, but I'm giving my opinion. And this is the thought I'm coming up with, is that maybe the person, was like, I will hurt your child. And the fentanyl was a way of hurting the child. Mother to comply with what they want. That's how I see it. Is that's a damn shame this 9-year-old get to live out her dreams because somebody gave this child something. I hope this father gets justice for his daughter. We talked about that. So, we're tuning in to 6 and Roll, and we'll just start it in, yeah? And into some more topics. 6, are you there? 6, are you there? Well, I have to, We'll be right back and report on this. We have to send our condolences to the Batson family because they have lost their sister, Stacy. She's lost her battle with cancer. I don't know what kind of cancer she had, but she was dealing with cancer, and she lost her battle with it. Condolences to the family and her children, to her sisters and her children. You know, cancer is rich. That's how I'm going to put it. It's taking out a lot of people. You know, we've lost a lot of people to the cancer. She didn't put it out there like that she was dealing with cancer. She thought she would be able to get, you know, her son. You know, social media and posted about it, you know, and he's like, you know, I'm okay. She's not in pain. You know, she's not dealing with it no more. You know, she's not, you know. And, you know, as a child of a parent dealing with cancer, it's like my mom's in remission, but what if I had to tell that, you know, put it out there to people, you know, she lost her battle with it. I don't want to have to put that out there, because then you get flooded with all these everybody says, you know, gives their condolences, but you get at the moment you're okay, but as you keep getting flooded with these, sorry for your loss, my condolences, after a while it hits you like some bricks. You may be cool, calm, and collective now, but after a while it's going to hit you like a ton of bricks, and you're not going to want to hear my condolences, sorry for your loss anymore. And sorry for that, y'all.
Miss Popular getting calls on the air. Tell your son to quit calling while we're doing
the break. Here we go.
We're
gonna take a musical break. Sorry about that, y'all.
That's her stalkers calling, y'all. We'll be right back. Hit the road.
I'm
Sean Stockman, the voice of men already in love. Now, six, did you hear anything I said? Okay. Getting stuff away from the phone again. Oh, boy. So for those who are just tuning in to Six and Road, we talked about a lady being discovered after 2 years of leaving her house dead. And we talked about an Italian woman being found in her home mummified. She was in her house 2 years. She moved because that's when Corona had happened. So she moved because of that. In her home, mummified and propped up at the table. She has no relatives. She was the last surviving relative in her family, and she had a home health aide coming to take care of her, and they might think she has to do with the lady's death. Now, if the lady died of natural causes, I get that. But then I thought about it. I will open your mic in a minute, caller. And I thought about it. I said, the home health aide, she has to, because she's she's her only client. If the lady dies, she loses her job. Maybe she's her own business, and as a, independent contractor. She has no client to recoup and recoup to make some money. She doesn't have another client. Maybe she did this to keep getting money even though the lady's dead. Not to say she killed the lady, but what if she left her there so that she could keep getting money? Because once they find out the lady's dead, she don't get no money. That was one of the, that was the first thing we talked about. And then the second thing is the 66-year-old man who molested three women in the same family. And he got double life plus 5 years in jail. Call up 574-341-9. What's up, caller?
Hello. Hello, Bertha. I got a question. Why did the mummy lady have relatives that got locked up and stayed fat while they were in jail? I know it's a complex question, but I'm interested in that. I don't care about.
All righty, I just hung up that call, and I ain't allowing that on my show. Stupidness. So we talked about it. So he saw a soldier. He molested the 8-year-old. He molested the mother of the 8-year-old. And I guess, I won't say the grandmother of the 8-year-old. They had another woman, so I didn't say the grandmother. So another family member, but three generations.
That is crazy. Why did nobody step in and notice anything was going on like that? Where was the rest of the family at?
So let me see if I'm going to go back. So he molested the 8-year-old. And that happened in 2017, but he didn't get arrested till 2018, and that's when the story came out that he molested the 8-year-old's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then another family member said he molested me too, when they was in court on the case, and she testified and said he molested me too. So the judge sent him to. The judge sentenced him with two life terms plus 5 years for aggravated molestation and child molestation.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this again: when you get to jail, when they find out what he in there for, he got a life sentence, and there's gonna be people who's already in there doing life don't care. He's getting beat up in prison for what he did. He's getting beat up in prison.
Right. What did that caller say? Because I didn't get to hear. What did they say?
I'm not. It was nonsense. So it don't need to even be repeated. It was nonsense.
With the troll.
So, yeah.
Hmm. Wow.
And then we had to send our condolences to the Braxton family because their sister Tracy has passed away from cancer.
Tracy Braxton-Sarah?
Tracy Braxton passed away from cancer.
Oh, wow. Condolences. She's a friend of mine on Facebook. Wow. My condolences to the Braxton family from Sticks and Road. Wow.
I saw a notification on Twitter, and Ricky Smiley was saying RIP Tracy Braxton. And I'm like, let me make sure this is true, because I hate to, you know, say RIP to somebody and they're dead. So when I put her name, it did come up that she passed away from cancer. Her son, you know, another social media post saying that she passed and that he's okay with it. You know, she doesn't have to, you know, suffer anymore. And I was also saying, you know, dealing with a parent who's passed away from cancer, you know, you're fine with it at the moment, but then as you keep getting the suffer your loss, my illness is, it hits you like a ton of bricks. You know, it's going to finally hit you, and you know, because you're not going to want to hear that anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
So, yeah. In entertainment news, the Nick Cannon show got canceled. And they're saying it's due to lackluster numbers. And they're saying it's due to lackluster numbers and that Jennifer Hudson's getting her own talk show and she's replacing him with her talk show. For those in the East Coast, Nick's show comes on at 11 a.m. right after Wendy's, William. And I like it. I like this talk show. A lot of people I'm sorry that it's not going to be there, but Nick is okay with it because Nick always stay with a job, so it's not, you know, he's okay with it. He always stay with a job. He got
Nick
the
ain't
opportunity.
Heard
for
no
money. He said when he did Wendy's show, when he, I think, guest host, he was a guest on the show. And he wanted to do a talk show. And he got the opportunity to do it, and he did it. Be it that it didn't last long, but still, he got the opportunity to do it. He's still doing
well,
that thing because it premiered Wednesday. But, like, Nick is not that he's not doing it, so he got a chance to do it, and he's doing the bigger and better things.
Yeah, he still got wilding out. So Nick, I said he still got wilding out. Nick ain't hurting for no money.
Right. But talk show was with the same people who does the Wendy Williams show. And then I was watching something and they said The Real also got canceled.
Oh, wow.
And The Real was, the time slot that Nick Cannon's talk show in, The Real was in that time slot for us on the East Coast to see the talk show. It was coming on in that time slot. So it was still coming on, but it wasn't being shown in the East Coast, only in the West Coast.
That's not
so
true.
It came on at one o'clock on
Fox 8.
So I'm explaining. Took it out the 11 o'clock time slot. They wasn't showing it at 11. Nor was it showing it at 1 because Dr. Oz was in that spot. When Dr. Oz decided to run in politics, they took his show off the air. And so for a little bit they were showing The Real. And then Dr. Oz's daughter, Daphne, has her own show, which now is in his time slot. So on the East Coast, you at 1 nor 11 would you be able to see The Real. In order to see The Real, you would have to go to their YouTube page to see if you follow any of the hosts or any of the hosts on Instagram, you will see clips from the show posted to their Instagram, you know, like that. That's how you would catch. Because what? So now, Johnny. Well, Jean is on maternity leave because she just had a baby. So now that left just before Jeannie was on maternity left for maternity leave, they brought in Garcelle Bouvet as the fourth to take her spot. Jeannie went on maternity, so it just Garcelle, Adrian, and Lonnie hosting the show. I don't think when it, like, from the beginning when they had Tamar, Adrian, Tamara, Jeannie, and Lonnie, that was a perfect combination. It worked. And then when they got rid of Tamar, it was just the four. And then they brought in Anna. I wouldn't say she wasn't a good fit. It just, that, her, that show was not really her. So she decided after doing a season with them, she wasn't going to come back. And then, a light bulb hit in Samara, she's spending more time doing the show than she is spending with her kids and her husband. So she decided to step down so she could spend more time with her life, just aging. And they was doing it for a while, and then Garcelle came, now it's like four, and now it's down to three because, you know, Jeannie is, you know, on maternity leave. Don't know when she's coming, back. So they're going to finish out each talk show finishing out their season. After their season, you won't see them in the fall for a new season. So. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So in the fall, so when we come back in the fall, in Wendy's time slot, which was 10 a.m. on the East Coast, is going to be the Sherry Shepherd talk show. Sherry Shepherd is going to replace Wendy because the company that gave Wendy her talk show said because of what Wendy's going through right now, you know, they can't keep, you know, they don't want to keep rotating different hosts. So they said this would be, they're going to finish off the season, and then Sherry's going to come in. Because Sherry was hosting, guest hosting on the Wendy show, and they also was rotating hosts. They want to keep doing that. So, and I guess the next slot for Jennifer Hudson's talk show is going to be in Nick's slot, being that they canceled him, and they're saying it's due to numbers. But Nick could have did it without the people back in his talk show. Nick could have still did the talk show without them and just did it back on YouTube, like put up on YouTube or something. It'll be good. It's not worried, you know. He has other, you know, stuff in the pipeline.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, when Sherry starts in the fall with her talk show, and same as Jennifer Hudson, then I want Sherry to do well, and I want you to do well. Already know it's not, because you have to think. At 10 a.m., everybody on the East Coast is used to tuning in to Wendy. Even though Sherry did a good job hosting her show while she's out, it's not going to be the same. So, is how you going to bring Wendy Watcher into Sherry's, when Sherry comes in the fall, how you turn the Wendy Watchers into Sherry Watchers? And those people who like watching Nick at 11, how are you going to turn those people into Jennifer Watchers? Because, yes, she can sing. Jennifer can sing. Sherry's a good comedian. She can bring laughter to the show. And Jennifer sometimes and bring that to the show, but is that that's not going to keep the audience. Just because she sing, she can sing, ain't gonna be the only, you know, that's not going to be the only thing that's going to keep the audience. People like hearing celebrity gossip, but you know what I'm saying, people like celebrity gossip. Is
right.
Jennifer going to be able to deliver that? Is Sherry going to be able to deliver that? Not saying she has to deliver it like Wendy did, but still, are you going, and we don't want to copy that.
Right.
People who are into watching talk shows, we don't want to copycat of Wendy. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, Wendy, you know, with to give us the celebrity gossip.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
It is gonna be interesting, but. You know, because Nick had Angela from the Breakfast Club on his show the other day, and she did the rumor report. And she was part of the rumor report. And he said yes. He admitted to that he was canceled. And he wasn't sad about it. But see, with Nick's show, what I love, he did that no other talk show done. He had regular plain Jane talk show. You know, regular people who was doing things in the community. He had them on the show, had them sharing their story, and he would give out the big, he had the biggest heart award where he was first in the award saying, because they had a big heart. You know, he was doing that. No other show would have regular schmegular people on it. You know.
Wait real quick. Check the phone lines. It's the 6th and Road. Phone lines are open at 347-202-0318. Press 1 to join the conversation. I shall return.
Yep.
You got anybody with us yet?
No, no one. The only person not joining is the person's call I hung up and they call back in. I'm putting them back on there.
Well, let's see what they got to say. Let's see what they got to say. Open them up.
They're not there. They hung up because I wouldn't open their mic back up.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Wow, here's something. Says the officer who killed Kai Bryant has been cleared of criminal wrongdoing. Bryant, a 6-year-old black girl, was fatally shot by Columbus, Ohio police in 2021. second terror scene. A grand jury declined to charge that high police officer with the fatally shot 16-year-old Brian Seconds after arriving at the scene and him of criminal wrongdoing. Officials announced Friday Brian was killed on April 20th by Columbus police officer Nicholas Reardon as she swung a knife at another woman dressed in pink outside of the home where she lived. Police responded to a 911 call reporting that someone was trying to stab and fight at home. She was killed the same day that former Minneapolis cop Derek Chauvin was convicted of murdering George Floyd. In the day after Brian's TikTok videos she had recently made went viral as people grieved the death of yet another young black person at the hands of police. In the statement announced the grand jury's decision in special prosecutors Sam Merkel and Gary Schroyer, who assigned the case due to conflict of interest with the Franklin County Prosecutor's Attorney's Office, noted that under the state law, the use of deadly force by police officers justifies their existence immediate or imminent threat of death or seriously bodily injury to the officer or another. According to investigative files released by the Ohio Attorney General's office on Friday, said in a written statement that when he fired his screen at Bryant, he was in fear for the life of the female in pink. The suspect had a knife drawn back in her right hand and was starting to swing it. He stabbed the female in pink, where Brian's family members previously told reporters that she had gotten into an altercation with someone else at the foster home and that she grabbed a knife to defend herself. He shot Brian four times according to an autopsy report released by the County Coroner's Office in August. Michelle Martin, attorney for Brian's family, said in a statement that the family was disappointed in the grand jury's decision, saying that they have looked by this officer opted for lethal force, even though there should have been other non-deadly options available to deal with this situation. We believe that the tragedy that ultimately resulted in Makai's death started long before she was shot and killed by Columbus police officer, Martin said, calling for full-scale change to Ohio's foster care system. As the one-year anniversary of Makai's death approaches, her family is resolute in their fight for justice on her behalf. Martin said, after the grand jury decision was announced, the city's Department of Public Safety released a statement saying that it was now determined through an administrative investigation whether the officer's actions were within division policy. Because of that investigation at this time, we are not able comment further, the department said. That is ridiculous. There was other measures he could have took. He knew that there was other measures he could have took. He could have used his taser and to get the knife out of her hand. Entertainment news says Carl Weber's The Black Hamptons, BT Limited Series to star Vanessa Bell Calloway, China, Elise Neal, and more. So Vanessa Bell Calloway, Elise Neal, Black China, Lamon Rucker, and more have been set for BT's adaptation of The Black Hamptons, the book from New York Times best-selling author of this adaptation. Is the second of Weber's work at BET following Carl Weber's The Family Business. From luxury communities to historic French enclaves, this epic story will follow the brewing feud between the Britons and the Johnsons. Okay, what just happened? I just lost my... Okay. And the day I got on, I lost... For some reason, something happened where I lost my spot. It says, the Britons and the Johnsons were they... Where the difference between old and new money is very apparent. The official description reads, Caldwell's Black Hampton... I think it's holding this. Let me see the article. That's where I left off at. It says, Carl Weber's The Black Hams not only features the glitz and gloss. I don't know what's going on, but this will not let me read this article. He's going blank on me after I read some of it. Something to share. These clock at Center Grass made history with launch of Nation Black Owned Alcohol Delivery App. The Gravius and says, okay. Navarre Gravius and Michael Lyles conceptualized an app that would enable friends to obtain liquor warning without I don't know if it's my phone acting up, but it's not letting me read the damn article. I don't know what's going on. Basically, these young men created measurement on the lip. You at a party. Party may not have beer because they don't drink alcohol, but it's okay if you drink alcohol. And you just get into the app. They deliver it to you. Yep. It says here, although the pandemic changed how people drink alcohol, Fraternity Brothers, Navarre Gravius, and Plows had, this is about to piss me off, trying to read the article, keep on blank, after I read most of it. I don't know if it's the app where I'm reading it from or it's my phone acting up as I'm trying to read the daggone article. Let's see. I'm trying to share something good. It says the article was on Essence, so I'm going to their website to read it from there, and if it happens on here, then the phone was the damn thing itself. So, okay, I don't know why that happened. Let's see, it's politics. I care about not really into politics. Trying to find the article. Here we go. Got it. Okay, here we go again. These Clark Atlanta grinds made history with the launch of the nation's first Black-owned alcohol delivery app. Navarre Gravius and Michael House conceptualized an app that would enable friends to obtain liquor while partying without getting behind the wheel. Although the pandemic has changed how people buy alcohol, fraternity brothers Navarre Gravius and Michael House had the idea of an e-commerce liquor platform as recent Clark Atlanta grads over a decade ago, recognizing a need among their peers back in undergrad, Gravius and Miles conceptualized an app that would enable friends to obtain liquor while partying without getting a wheel. In 2011, my kids and I were both leaving our respective careers and knew the corporate lifestyle wasn't for us. Miles said, after realizing individually we had the same business, we joined forces to try to make it happen. QuickLick was born. To say it was a long road to success is an understatement. Although the two started building the app almost immediately after discussing that idea, it took 11 years to widely launch due to navigating bureaucratic roadblocks and liquor distribution partly as Black founders. There's a lot of statements we had to overcome. It was until 2018 when we met Aaron Carter, an industry vet, that we really start to make headway in the space. Carter, who's worked with brands like Jack Daniels, Brown-Forman, and Anheuser-Busch, helped fill the knowledge gaps anyone outside the spirit industry wouldn't know, as it's largely gatekept. The same year they met Carter was when liquor distribution via delivery apps became legal in Florida, where QuickLick's headquarters are located. This was a pivotal moment for the brand. A few years ago, we were finally able to partner with liquor stores that didn't have a web presence and barely even a phone step house. We wanted to give them a digital offering. So we built strong relationships with those smaller mom and pop stores, allowing them to have an online delivery service platform. Then we allowed the consumer to select their favorite beer, wine, and spirit right from their fingertips within 45 minutes or less. QuickLick is available to iOS and Android users in Miami Beach area with to expand to West Florida and Atlanta, GA this year. The ambitious founders are aiming to make the app available globally, but they understand the value of trust in the process, something they say their alma mater instilled in them as younger students. Clark Atlanta University model is, I'll find a way or make one, and we really embody that. And everybody's so smaller, and do I really want to talk about it? You know, because everybody else is talking about it. No, I don't. I really don't want to. I'm gonna be doing my due diligence if I can. So Justice Smollett sentenced to 5 months in jail, 30 months felony conviction for staging hate crime. The former Empire star was convicted on 5 counts of felony disorderly conduct for orchestrating January 2019 incident. Just 2 months after a Chicago-based jury found him guilty of lying to police, Justice Smollett earned his fate. The Empire actor was sentenced to 30 months felony probation, $120,100 in restitution, maximum fine of $25,000, and 150 days of his sentence spent in the Cook County Jail starting. I'm not suicidal. That is what I would like to say. I'm not suicidal. So let me find it when if he had any questions about his sentence. I am not suicidal. I am innocent and not suicidal. I continue raising and standing. If I did, then it means I stuck my fist in the fears of Black Americans in this country for over 400 years and the fears of the LGBTQ community. Your Honor, I respect you and I respect the jury, but I did not do this. And I am not suicidal. And if anything happens to me when I go in there, I did not do it to myself. And you must all know that. This is not for the public. Judge James Lynn said at handing out the sentence, knowing the public and media interest in Smollett's proceedings. The sentence handed down today is strictly for Mr. Smollett. Lynn added that there was no punishment he could possibly hand out that would be any worse than what Smollett had already done to himself and his career through his own misconduct and shenanigans, accusing him of doing damage to real hate crime victims in the long term through what he further described as Smollett's arrogant and narcissistic attention-seeking actions. Your very name has become an adverb for lying, Lynn continued. I can't think of anything worse than that. Smollett, 39, was found guilty on 5 of 6 felony counts of disorderly conduct in early December 2021, one charge for each time he lied to police about the details of the fabricated attack in January 2019. He was found not guilty on a charge of lying to a detective over the same incident in February of that same year. Disorderly conduct was a class that has a sentencing potential of up to 3 years in prison. At the time of the ruling, a member of the prosecution team called the verdict a resounding message by the jury that Mr. Smollett did exactly what he said he did. During the trial, details emerged pinpointing Jesse as the mastermind behind idealing and orchestrating a staged racist and homophobic attack on himself set to take place in nearly hours of January 19, 2019. Prosecutors proved that Smollett paid two brothers initially hired as his fitness trainers $3,500 to assist with the hoax. Posing as his attackers, lawyers say he instructed them to yell homophobic slurs and racial epithets, including the phrase "our country," as a reference to support of then President Trump before wrapping an improvised noose around his neck. The Associated Press reports that Smollett's defense asserted that there was no hoax and claimed others committed a real homophobic attack against him and made up the story about his involvement, telling him that he would testify on his behalf and make the charges disappear if he paid them $1 million each. As he exited the courtroom to begin serving his 5 months behind bars, he raised his fist in the air once again, exclaimed, "Not suicidal. Suicidal. I am innocent. I could have said that I was guilty a long time ago." A lot of people believe that you were guilty, Jesse. You was on a hit TV series and, you know, but I see his point yelling he's not suicidal, because when Sandra Bland got arrested for treason and then days later wound up in jail that she was in, and they said she did it to herself, there's no way in the world that I'm arrested for no reason and I'm going to sit up in jail, then turn around and kill myself. No. So he is saying that if something happens to him, that if something happens to him in jail, that he didn't do it to himself. Yep. Let's see, 70 news. Here we have. We have Mary J. Blige reflects on her life turning point. It was like, I don't want to die, but I'm tired of feeling like this. It's a bad story. It says, during the 2021 Essence Festival of Culture, Blige was talking new Amazon Prime for revisit her toughest moments. For the past 3 decades, Mary Blige has cemented her legacy as an artist. The multi-platinum selling Grammy winner has had much success in her career, but it was not without both trial and tribulation. She reflected on those experiences and more during an interview about Mary J. Blige, my life at the entertainment or aspect experience of the 2021 since Festival of Culture presented by Coca-Cola. Mary gave to me a trust that gave birth to a vibe that helped create historical moment in music. My life producer Chucky Thompson of Essence. This is my life documentary and a glimpse into that vibe that moved R&B music forever. Speaking with Essence Senior Entertainment Manager, Blige touched on some of the moments that contributed to her progression as a musician. Why was it time for this story to be told? One of the factors has remained a consistent part of Blige's longevity is relatability. The passion that comes across in her music strikes a nerve with women of all ages. The tumultuous relationships she's experienced throughout her life laid the groundwork for most of her content. And it's these emotions that have resonated core fan base for decades. Since the release of her debut album in the late 90s, Blige also pursued a career in acting and has twice been nominated for an Academy Award, although she's certainly making her mark on both the big and small screens. Ben Sanders stated that she never sees a life where she's not recording music, acting a whole nother beast, she said, laughing. You have to give it a break because it's hot. When asked what advice she would give to the young women out there, her response was a testament to her resilience. Advice would be to keep going, Blige stated. You're going to fail. You're going to have ups and downs, but just stop whatever you're doing. Watch the video. Okay, they say to watch it. It's a video interview, but I just read the article. But so, you know, Mary just dropped her album called Good Morning Gorgeous, and they have been through a lot, and she kept going and stopped, and you have to. Like she said, keep going. You may feel some sort of way. You may feel some way that your life ain't going the way you planned it. But if you keep going, it's going to get there eventually.
That's right. Don't give up. Don't give up.
Yeah.
I just want to say to the listeners, if I can do it, if I can get your eyes closed, you can damn sure do it with yours open.
See, that's the thing, Six, is that people with sight, not just sight, but just people who still have a lens, eyesight, we take a lot of things for granted. And then when when we come across people like yourself who don't have this, or people that come across who don't have certain limbs, but they still are doing, they keep going and going, letting nothing stop them. You know, you were born with sight, but something happened to where you lost your sight, but you still kept going.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who were born with limbs, but because of something that happened, they had to get their limbs amputated. But they still kept going and say, well, because I lost my sight or because I lost my limbs, it's the end of my life. No. And I know people who lose their sight get frustrated because they're so used to, you know, being able to see. Now they have to deal with the fact that they have to deal with it now that they can't. And it's going to take a while. That doesn't, even though they get frustrated, they still keep going, though.
Mm-hmm. You got to.
See, we have to stop taking stuff like that for granted. We have to think about the people who are born deaf. They've never heard a word in their life, but they're still trucking on because they talk with sign language. You know what I'm saying? They talk with sign language. We still have the ability to talk every single day. They've never had the ability. You know, we still have the ability to hear and talk. They can, some can talk, but they can't hear. So that's why you see them with the hearing aid, so they can hear what you're saying and be able to respond to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, time is, you know, winding down, you know, it's getting close to the show end, but I want to talk about something. It's an important subject to talk about, and I'm going to explain what I'm about to talk about. So I know a lot of you might be on TikTok and a lot of you may not be, so for those of you who want, you may have heard about some TikTok drama that went down between two people, a man and a woman on TikTok. And this is about, what I'm about to talk about is false allegations. People who bring upon false allegations on someone because of their hurt feelings. Now,
okay. People
that are on TikTok and their dramas all over TikTok, all just put it all over social media. She, this woman, was entered as a man. Told her more than once he's poly. Meaning he dates more than one woman. Like he's not a man of monogamy, put it that way. So she kept trying to, knowing he already told her two times he's poly. She flies to where he's at. She flies to him. They have an intimate moment. Right? She comes back. She flies back to her home and sees that this man she was just with is on it with another woman. And that pissed her off. Goes on social media sharing her story about this man. And she insinuates that this man sexually assaulted her when he didn't. They actually had sex without protection. Like, I get that you have something with this man. This man told you he was poly, meaning he doesn't date just one woman. he wants a sister wives situation, and he told you that. And if that wasn't what you wanted, you should have never messed with this man after he told you that. And no, you won't want to with him anyway. So she tells her story, and she insinuates that he sexually assaulted her when he didn't. Now another woman comes out and tells her, saying, "Oh, I was messing with him too," and tells her story, but she doesn't say anything about him, you know, sexually assaulting her. Now this same woman comes back and spills more, as they say in the LGBTQ community, tea. She was spilling more tea. She was pregnant by this man. Because she was with him sexually with no protection. But what she did was, in this moment, she lied and said she had a miscarriage to get sympathy from people and gain more followers. Right, but come to find out, as evidence, so they say now receipts was coming out. This woman did not have a miscarriage; she had an abortion.
Whoa!
She lied about having a miscarriage, and you gotta understand, miscarriage is not something you should lie about. Because there are many women who can tell you stories of how many they had and how, because of that, they can never have children. Here you are,
that's not
lying and saying you had one when you didn't and you knew you had an abortion.
Yeah, that's not cool.
This woman put up a video post singing a song about abortion, like to give you a bird's eye view of that she thinks abortion is wrong, but she was telling people she had a miscarriage. And this man, and this was a white woman, because I didn't say nobody's race, but this was a white woman and a Native American man that she was with. She made this man out to be a bad guy when he was up front with her and told her he was poly, meaning he likes to be, he wants a sister wives situation. He was up front and honest with her about that twice. The way he treated her, yes, yeah, wrong for the way he treated her. But she knew what she was getting into. Because a person tells you, that's like, if you're messing with a man, and he tells you, oh, I'm gay, but you look at that and still want to mess with him, and then y'all have some sort of dealings. But if he told you more than once he's gay, but you still want to mess with him, that's not his fault. That's on you. You can't put that blame on him. If he does you dirty afterwards, he told you twice. You understand what I'm saying? He tells you twice, I'm poly, or I'm this, I'm that, but you still just chose to mess with him. That's on you. It's not on him. But that made him, but she got all these women, black women included, on her side because of the fact that she said that she had a miscarriage. And she put out a video to him. She put out a video saying that he knew. Right? You remember the movie Jaws, right?
Yeah, I remember Jaws.
So you remember in Jaws when the boy got bit by the shark, and the mother said to the guy, she said to him, "You knew." Like that, she was saying to him, "You knew there were sharks in the water, whatever, whatever." She used that line from the movie in her video to say that he knew. And then when somebody put two and two together, they said, "Wait a minute, you took that line from the movie and say he knew?" Because everybody's, you know, all these people, she had all these people feeling sorry for her.
Mm-hmm.
Which really
what city
playing
was
the actress role? She had all
what
these
city was this?
Feeling sorry for her when she was playing the actress role. The Native American lives in Denver. I don't know where she lives because they never said where she lives. But she flew all the way to Denver to see this man, knowing he told her he was poly twice. And all these seats is falling out, telling the story of what's been going on between them.
What the hell is poly?
You ever heard of Sister Wives?
Sister Wives.
You ever heard of this show,
what
Sister
is that?
Wives? So
no.
He's polyamorous, meaning he's never going to be monogamous. He's never going to be tied down to one woman. He wants to be with more than one woman at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And he told her twice. And she's still went out there to see him. You saying, okay, you want to date, let's say, I'm just going to just use a celebrity's name just to give context. Let's say
Holly Berry.
Kind of thing.
Can we use Holly Berry?
Say,
Holly Berry.
Okay, let's just say you got to thank Holly Berry, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you twice. Holly Berry tells you twice she's poly, meaning polyamorous, and you bypass that and still go out to see her. Y'all have your fun when you go out to see her. It's like,
oh yeah.
But you, and then after y'all have your fun, you go back home. And you social media that she went out on a date on Valentine's Day of all days with another dude. Right after you just came back from seeing her, she goes out on Valentine's Day with another dude. This is what takes this woman up to tell her business about them too on social, on TikTok and social media. Because he went out with another woman after she done spent time with him and where he lives at, and they had their fun. And she's, you know what I'm saying, with no protection.
Oh, wow.
She winds up pregnant, has an abortion, but to get people more on her side, she lies because she had a miscarriage. And then it comes out because people had texts showing that she told someone it wasn't a miscarriage, it was an abortion. But she made a video singing a song like saying like abortion is wrong. So people were behind people were behind her, and then it came out, then when I came out and said, oh no, she said I didn't miscarriage and had an abortion. But you got women standing behind you who've had miscarriages, who can't have kids, had miscarriages, trying to have kids, and here they are having your back, and you lied when you really had an abortion. And this is my thing. Right? She's doing all manipulated people to be on her side. I hate this man that told her he was poly not once but twice. And the reason why I'm bringing up this story is because there are women who do this. There are women who get with these men. Right? Do whatever they do with men, and when it doesn't go their way, they lie. They lie on this person. You know, someone sexually assaulted you, didn't. That also got people behind her because They've been there. They've been in her position when they actually assaulted the man. They was in her position. But you got to understand, people who went through that, when you come out publicly on social media and say, this person did that to you, it brings memories to them. It brings memories of their trauma. And then to come and then to find out it didn't happen. Like we said this before when we talked about, I think it was a story about where the person said they was raped, but then come to find out she wasn't raped. And the question was, should she be charged for falsely accusing him of rape? And the consensus was, and I think the same thing applies to the situation. She should be. She should be charged with something for falsely accusing this man of her when she willingly has sex with this man. We got women as men. We gotta stop it. We have to stop. Just because our feelings are hurt, saying things out of our mouths not to be true, just to get people not to like this person because we're mad because things didn't go our way. Like I said, he told her he was poly. So twice.
Mm-hmm.
So she knew what she was getting into, flying all the way over there to see him.
Right.
Like some people said, well, she should have had her going to him, that he should have flew where she was, that he should have came to her. Or if she was going over there, he should have paid her a ticket for her to see him. She knew what she was
mm-hmm.
getting into. Her feelings got hurt when she saw that he was showing interest in somebody else, not her, that she created all of this mess. We got to stop feeding into it, especially when you don't know all the facts. Stop feeding into it and taking sides in a situation you don't know all the facts to. Now that the receipts are dropping and the truth is coming out, those who are on her side feel duped and feel stupid.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the story, let the story play out before you make an informed decision of whose side you want to be on. Let it play out, because the truth will always reveal itself. Because it's her side and it's his side. Said nothing. The whole time she's been saying all this stuff, doing all this stuff, he hasn't said anything.
Wow.
And people call him a sexual because of what he did. And those people who was saying he's a predator and getting into their business between him and that lady, he can now, if he wants to, he can gather all the information and he can sue them for defamation of character. We have to stop when someone comes out with a story saying they're sexually assaulted, they was raped. I'm not saying you shouldn't believe them, but I'm saying let all has come out first before you jump on the bandwagon to be like, oh, I'm siding with her. I think he really did do it. I'm siding with her. I think he really did. No. Let all the facts come out first. Because too many people are being falsely accused of things they didn't do and going to jail for it. The football player, when the high school football player, he was on his way to college to play in college football, to the high school girls said he raped her. He got arrested and went to jail for rape. And when she hit him up on Facebook and told him, she hit him up on Facebook and told him she lied. But he spent,
wow.
I think he spent six years in jail because of it. And once he got out, it was too late for him to have a college football career, because college is 4 years. He went right at the end of high school. And you know college is only 4 years. And when he got out of jail, I think he was either 24 or 26. He can still go to college and get him a degree, but no one's putting a 26-year-old on a college football team. No matter how good he is, they're not putting him on the football team. And even though a lie, you know people are looking at him like he's a rapist, and he's not. When people come out with stories like that, I'm not saying their situation is not valid, but let's wait till all the facts is out on that situation before we make an informed decision to say, I'm standing with her or I'm standing with her.
Right.
Because you don't know if the person's telling the truth or not. She was lying. They said this ain't the first time she pulled a stunt like that. They said she was across the pond. She was dating a comedian. She was across the pond, and she was dating a comedian. And he was asleep in the bed, and he was awake. She had the covers over her, but all you see the top of your chest, like the top when the covers is over you, all you see is from like the top of your chest and your neck. And he took a selfie, and he took a selfie of her like that. And she found out he took the selfie. He was supposed to be like headlining some festival, and because she lied and said some stuff about him, he lost his festival. And it's saying, let you jump and come on her side because I hate to see innocent people in jail for something they did, and then when they finally come out. Also, what I learned in 6, you ain't gonna like this.
What?
I don't like it. They are doing a play on the life of Emmett Till. There is I think it's a college professor,
mm-hmm.
a white college professor who was putting on a play on what happened to Emmett Till.
Wow.
It's not us poor people putting on this play, telling the real story of Emmett Till. No, this is a white college professor putting on this play about Emmett Till. I think he posted about it on TikTok, and I saw it. I don't know if I saved the video, but normally when I see stuff like that, I save the video on the show. And it had, I think, I'm not sure if they're telling it from they're not telling it from his perspective, they're telling it from Carolyn's perspective, but it's about Emmett Till. And then somebody else dropped some info that said the two men that killed Emmett Till were paid $4,000 by a magazine to tell their side of the story of what happened.
What, back then or recent?
Yes. There was a magazine called Look Magazine. They paid the two men that killed Emmett Till $4,000 to tell their story of what happened, and they posted it they put it in the magazine.
What year was this?
And then come to find out, that's when told them that she lied. But he's dead already, but she told them that she lied.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. That this magazine, we wasn't born around that time, but still, I don't even think it lasted long on publication. They spent $4,000 for these two men to tell their story, and their story was correct that they was telling. Bonus hour. But their story wasn't even... Yep. Last story that I said, you gotta be kidding me. The magazine paid $4,000 to get a story from the two guys that murdered Emmett Till.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and somebody said, that would have been great if they would have got both sides of the story.
Right.
One side.
That's crazy.
Got one side. That is it for 60 Road. We'll be back next Saturday at 7 with another 60 Road. If you have any topics you want to share with us or you want us to discuss on the station, you can hit us up at roadstarting2010@gmail.com. That's roadstarting2010@gmail.com with your topic, your name. And if we do your topic on there, we'll have you join us so you can give your opinion on the topic. You can always join us by dialing 347-202-318. That's the number to dial into the station. The show is at 7. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's an hour. That's Central. I can't remember Pacific time. You know, I'm not good with my time zone. No. I'm not good with my time
zone. Sixth and Road is at 6 Central, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific.
Told you I'm not good at my time zone because I know because they're an hour behind. And that's how I know Central is an hour behind.
And Pacific is always 3 hours behind.
Me and math don't get along. So me computing that in my brain like a math problem, it ain't gonna work.
All right.
So we'll be back next Saturday at 7 with another 6th and Road. If we are not here on Saturday, or Thursday, the show we made up on Tuesday or Thursday during the week if we're not here Saturday. I'll be back at 11 p.m. with Saturday Night Indie Mix, where you best in indie music.
You have been joining 6th and Row on the Road to Stardom Radio. 6th and Row, every Saturday.
Well, six, what's going on your air tonight?
On my air tonight is Six Eyes Radio Network at 11:30 p.m. Give a call at 424-243-9617. Russia and Ukraine. Biden suspending trade with Russia. What's your take? Will we go to war? What's your thoughts? And what would you do to end the war if you could? Tonight on Six Eyes Radio Network, dial 424-243-9617. Go to the Six Eyes Radio Facebook page and like that. And we also have For the Love of Six Eyes Media Group. Like that page. Thank you.
Well, as far as Russia and Ukraine, if we go to war and they're trusting people, we should not be involved in Russia's war with Ukraine. We should not be, but I already know
America always sticks their nose in other people's business. We don't have nothing to do with that war. We don't got nothing to do with what's going on with Russia and Ukraine.
But let me say this. Russia was asking Syria to help them in the war.
We still ain't got nothing to do with it, though.
Syria to help them in the war. But this is my thing, right? You started the war, so you're supposed to be this big and bad. You so big and bad, you start a war, but they're going to ask another country to help you in the war when you started the war? So now, let's just say I lived in Syria, and I'm in Syria's military. And Syria, you know, says, okay, we're going to help Russia. So as Syrian as a military person, you telling me the rest of my life for Russia? When they the one that started the war? So as a Syrian in the military, I got to risk my life for Russia and they started the war?
Bless you.
That don't make no sense. That don't make any sense to me. That Russia started the war, but they asking other countries for help in this war. And so I living in these other countries, you telling me I have to risk my life for Russia? That don't make no sense. You understand what I'm saying? That don't make no sense. To me, that doesn't make any sense. That we should not get involved, but we already know they're going to get involved. You know what's going on between Russia and Ukraine is the reason why the gas prices are so high.
Yeah, and a lot of people ain't going to be able to afford that gas. A lot of people are going to go back to siphoning gas. That used to be a thing. If you didn't have no gas in your car.
They're already doing it. There was a news broadcast about it. The guy said what they're doing is they're going under the car and they're drilling holes into where the gas line is. They're drilling holes and they're siphoning the gas.
Well, the easiest way is to put it into the tank. That's the easiest way to do it.
They're not going into the gas tank because, you know, they're not going to the gas tank. They're going under the car and so and putting these holes and siphoning the gas that way that when people go in their cars and they go to turn it on, you know when the car has no gas in it and when you turn the key to turn it on, it makes a certain kind of noise, so you know you ain't got no gas in your car. And people are getting in their car, turning it on, and they know they had gas in their car, and hearing this noise, and they're like, what the heck? And then when they go check under their car, they find the hole. That's how desperate people are for gas, that they're in the hole in people's cars to steal their gas.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. So that's what we'll be talking about tonight. So call in Six Eyes Radio, 424-243-9617, the Six Eyes Radio Network, where the stars come, Six Eyes Radio.
So I am
going to
say peace one love. I appreciate the Skype caller.
Thank you,
Skype. Appreciate it. Because I am going to go eat dinner because I am hungry. I'm going to go eat dinner.
What do you have?
I don't know what I'm going to eat, but I'm going to eat some dinner.
What's for dinner? What's on your plate?
I don't know what's for dinner because I ain't cooking.
Why?
So what I find is what I'm going to eat.
Let us know what you ate tonight on air.
So I'm going to say peace and love. See you next time on Six Road. Bye-bye now.
Yay. All right. See y'all later. God bless.